Morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. Welcome here today into God's house for the sermon titled, Smile. It works. See, look at you all smiling back at me. And the scripture lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 15. What was that? Peggy, did you not like Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 15, starting in the 13th verse. See how you all are smiling? The writer in Proverbs has these words. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Let us ask God for his blessings on this as we seek him in prayer. Let us pray. Father, open our hearts and our minds and move us forward through this sermon. Use this as a reminder tool, as a constant learning, as a constant need, our reliance on you to see what you have for us. These words that you have given to be spoken today, let them bring joy to our heart, peace to our minds, and the great ability to speak openly of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, you may have realized that I'm starting things off a little different this morning. Some of you are like, where's the opening story? We were at a wedding yesterday, Wendy and I were, for very good friends of ours down in West Virginia, and we were having a good time with it, and I got asked to bless the meal, and I was very proud to do so. And we were at a table with some people that I knew, and one of the gentlemen at the table leaned over to me, and he goes, you're blessing the meal? I said, yeah. He goes, do you have a story before you bless the meal? And I said, well, what makes you think that? And he goes, you've always got a story when you open your mouth. Charlie, I don't know. He goes, I don't mean to be disrespectful. We'd love to hear it. So do you have one? Well, of course I have one. And today I shall not disappoint. This past week I was out on a service call. And I got called to a therapy rehabilitation place. And as I got there and got in and got checked in, and the doctor of the place, the lead doctor, met me, I come to realize it wasn't a therapy rehabilitation place. It was a therapeutic place for those that are having trouble in their minds. You may know it as an insane asylum. And they had me in there, and I got a little scared for a moment. They're not going to let me out, right? We were walking along because he wanted to show me where the workroom was. And as we were walking along, we came down his hallway, and there was a guy hanging from the ceiling. And I looked up, and underneath the guy hanging from the ceiling was a guy mopping the floor. And we got closer and closer. And I looked at the doctor. I said, what's with the guy hanging from the ceiling? He goes, well, he's in here for a little bit of therapy. He thinks he's a light bulb. And as we got closer, the doctor reached up and lifted him up, kind of unscrewed him there a little bit, put him over his shoulder, and we started walking along. And we heard this noise behind us, this squeaky squeak. We turn around and look, and here come the guy with the mop bucket following us. And the doctor stopped, and he looked at him for a moment, and he says, and exactly why are you following us? And the guy with the mop bucket says, you don't think I can mop that hallway in the dark, do you? Smile! It works! One of my pet peeves, and I'm telling you right now, it is my pet peeve. It drives me crazier than somebody standing in line at the Home Depot counting out their life savings in pennies to buy a 50-cent washer. You understand? That makes me nuts. This makes me crazier. When I see Christians that look like this, what's wrong with you? I was recently at a meeting with a bunch of Christians in it. And we were all not in the best of spirits because it was a Saturday. And it was going to be a long day. And all the people in that room looked like they had just bit into the sourest of sour candies that could ever be made. I'm surprised they could form words. Their face was so tight up. And I can't stand that. And so at my table, I decided we were not going to be unhappy. And I began to be me. And after a couple of minutes, we were having a pretty good time at the table. To which the leader of the event said, "Paul, would you like to get up here and teach?" And I said, "No, you're doing just fine." And I realized it was time for me to be quiet. And I still smiled. You see, it works. We are Christians. I get it. We have hard roads to travel. We have much going on. But what else? We can look at those flowers out there growing and say, "Wow, aren't they beautiful?" and smile. Because we know that God created them. We can look at the rain that has fallen every single weekend that I can't begin to count when it's not supposed to because it's my weekend. And we can say, "All right, good. It's filling up my well." Charles Schulz wrote one of the greatest things ever to smile about. And you all know who Charles Schulz was, right? Wrote Peanuts. And I guarantee you, everybody in here knows Snoopy, Linus, and all the rest of the gang, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Smile. And one day, and I have this comic strip plastered so I never forget it. One day, they were sitting underneath the tree. Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty, who always called him Chuck. And they were sitting underneath the tree one day. And Peppermint Patty says, "Chuck, what do you think that the happiness, the life is? What do you think that being totally happy in life comes from?" And Charlie Brown said, "A convertible and a lake." And Peppermint Patty said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "If you have a convertible and it starts raining, you can't drive your convertible. But you can be happy because your lake is filling up with water. And if you come out and the sun is shining, you can put the top down and drive your convertible." That's just beautiful to me. Peppermint Patty didn't see it that way because the last frame in the cartoon strip says, "Chuck, I wonder about you sometimes." But when we look for sadness, you're going to find it. When we look for things to make us happy, we're going to find it. And when we remind ourselves that we are upright and mobile, regardless of how bad these bodies are working or whatever's going on, we are still breathing and able to talk about and be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the world around us gives us things to laugh at. We have been working hard the past several weeks, ever since we've come out of Easter. There's been a lot for us to learn. There's been a lot going on. And today we're going to take a little break and we're going to remind ourselves to smile. It works. Try it. Smile. Let me see you. Don't stop smiling until I look at you. Oh, look at all these beautiful things. See, it works. It makes me happy. I would like to read you a letter that will bring you joy to your life. It's from a daughter to a mother. And it starts off, "Dear Mother, this is your daughter." You're not catching the humor yet, are you? Stay with me. "I am writing this slow because I know you can't read fast. We don't live where we did when you left and visited the last time. My husband read in the paper that most accidents happen within 20 miles of the house, so we moved. I won't know the address for a while because the last family that lived here took the numbers with them for their next house so they wouldn't have to change their address. Mama, this place has a very fancy washing machine. Why, the first day I put 4 new shirts in it, pulled the chain, and I haven't seen them since. It only rained twice this week, 3 days the first time and 4 days the second time. The coat that you wanted me to send you that you forgot the last time you was here was too heavy for us to send in the mail, so we cut all the big buttons off and put them in the pockets before we sent it. We got a bill from the funeral home, and it said, if we don't make the last payment on Annie's funeral bill, up she comes. I heard that Sis had a baby this morning, but I haven't been over there to find out yet if it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if I'm an aunt or an uncle. The neighbor up the road fell in the whiskey vat down there where he works, and some men tried to pull him out, but he fought them off playfully and drowned. They said they cremated him, and he burnt for 4 days. And three local kids from DeBorgia went off the bridge in a pickup truck. The one that was driving rolled down the window and swam out, but the two sitting in the back almost drowned because they couldn't get the tailgate down. Not much to tell this time. Nothing much happens around here. Love your daughter. You see, we can find humor. We are saved by the Most High, and although I know there are a lot of things against us, sometimes we need to stop for a moment, lift our head up, and look around. There is so much beauty to take in. So much. It was raining yesterday. It was raining Friday. And yesterday we went to the wedding. And I got myself into kind of a situation, because I was feeling rather... How do I say this? I was smiling a lot because I was feeling rather full of myself. And at the dinner Friday night, the rehearsal dinner, I got asked to say the blessing. And I was being sincere when I stopped in the middle of it and I said, God, I'd like to ask for a favor. I'd like you to ask it not to rain during the funeral or during the wedding. Well, I'll get it for that one later. I'd like you to stop the rain during the wedding. And then I sat down. That's what a preacher does. He puts his faith in God. He asks and he receives. Right? Say amen. Amen. People came up to me after that and said, boy, that was brave. What do you mean? Well, what if it rains? Well, then it wasn't my turn to get my question answered. And the next morning at breakfast, I did it again. And it kept on raining. Until 10:30. And it quit. And it stopped raining. And people were walking up to me, looking at me, and I had to look at them and say, with this smile, I bet you don't want to mess with me ever again, do you? I'm only kidding! Please don't hit me. We need to just throttle back sometimes and remind ourselves that one of the most beautiful things we have is the love of Jesus Christ in our heart. And yes, he had to go through his trials and tribulations, but Jesus constantly reminded us, be joyful. I am with you always. I got criticized once for being a little bit too jokey in some of my sermons. Somebody reached out to us and said, Paul needs to be more serious. Please find another church. And I read this once, and I have hooked on to it. Someday I'm going to heaven. And after they go through all the paperwork, and God and Jesus talk, and they realize that I actually am allowed to be there. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Are you really sure? Yes, I'm sure, Dad. I got his name right here. What about that? Well, he's forgiven. Well, what about this? Well, he's forgiven. Is he going to behave? I can't promise that. All right, well, we'll let him in, but if he acts up, it's on you to take care of. I got it, Dad. One day I'm going to get there. And I am so excited about all the people that we will see. And one of them is the great evangelist, Charles Spurgeon, who I've read his works and read his books. And Charles Spurgeon was a firebrand, but Charles Spurgeon was also his own man, and he was known as a character. Chuck Swindoll writes from his book, Growing Strong, he was a character. His style was so loose, he was criticized again and again and again for bordering on frivolity in the tabernacle pulpit. Certain incensed fellow clergymen railed against his habit of introducing humor into his sermons. And with a twinkle in his eye, he once replied, if you only really knew how much I hold myself back. And I say that to you, if you guys only knew. He said, you would commend me, but me, this preacher thinks, it is less of a crime to cause momentary laughter than a half hour of profound slumber. What he said was, we need to have it all. We need to remind ourselves that there is a time to work and that there is a time to laugh. Jesus Christ did not die on that cross for us to walk around with our head down, sad and forlorn all the time. Jesus Christ died to save our sins and to make sure that our hearts were full of joy. And every now and then, guess what? It's okay to smile. It works. See, look, every time I do that, people are like, it's okay to smile now. The psalm, the writer in Proverbs is saying in very simple language, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. And how else are you more cheerful than when you smile? Remember them bumper stickers from the 70s? Smile makes everybody wonder what you're up to. It works. He goes on to write, but heartache crushes the spirit. If you walk around sad and forlorn and tore up all the time, what person in their right mind would even want to begin to know anything about Jesus Christ? Look what it's done for him. Look how happy he is. He just ate a bag of sour candies. The next verse. The discerning heart seeks knowledge. We want to know our Savior. We want to know Jesus Christ. We want to learn. The mouth of a fool feeds on folly. For those that would tell you that there is no Jesus, for those that would try to take away your joy and your happiness, just smile at them. It works. And in verse 15, in verse 13, again, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. Cheerful. All the days of the oppressed are wretched. But the cheerful heart has a continual feast. You smile. You let people know that it's okay. And here's the other side of it. We're never going to be perfect at it. We're always going to be, at some point, trying to look for the bad side of things. And I'm one of the worst at it. I am a put the cart before the horse kind of person. I'm getting better. I married a woman who constantly reminds me, really? That's how you want to be there, Mr. Preacher Man? Really? There's times I wish I had a limousine cubicle where when she's picking on me, I could just push the button. Of course, she would want to have the same button and her window would never go down. But we love our Savior. We love our joy that He gave us. We love seeing the things that make us happy, so why not show it by smiling and letting the world know? And then when they start to wonder, yeah, Paul, man, there's a lot going on in your life, and yet you seem to be meeting it head on. Not all the time I don't, but I try, and I'm smiling, and here's why. In Philippians chapter 4, we hear the words that I promise you, when I read these words, you're going to be humming. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and open your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philip Parman tells the story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. Aren't you out there fishing? He asked. Well, because I've caught enough fish for the day, said the fisherman. Why don't you catch more than you need? The rich man asked. Well, what would I do with them? The fisherman said. Well, you could earn more money, came the impatient reply, and buy a better boat so you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make more money, and soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me. Then the fisherman asked, well, then what would I do? Well, you could sit down and enjoy life, said the industrialist. What do you think I'm doing now, said the fisherman, as he looked placidly out on the water. Be joyful. Smile. It's really okay to do. We just do not know who needs to see our Christian light. We just don't know. I have been constantly amazed and surprised when people find out what we do that draws them in. I've been amazed and surprised by the emails and the letters we get thanking this church for being there. The Jesus we know shines his light through us, and we can show it by smiling and being ready for that person that is lost and sour. And we can never truly be sure of who we affect with our smile. Charles Gordy in Thomaston, Georgia, wrote this article and finished it with his newspaper down there. He said, a smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. Smile, it works. You see, you want to. And that's what I want to remind you of today. That's what was put on my heart, to be smiling, to be ready, to be joyful. James says, consider it my pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. A smile is not just a smile. A smile is a way to take off the pressure for a moment and build yourself up to continue on through what the world is pushing on you. And we have the ability to do so because we all have taken the name of Jesus Christ and been saved. And we believe it. We believe in the power of what he had. We believe in the power of what he has given us. We believe in the power of the broken death, the victory over it. I'm not kidding when I talk about that song, Hallelujah Square. I probably sing it wrong because it's been so long since I've heard it, and one of these days I ought to maybe think about learning it. But that song has always been around, and it comes from them days of the great gospel quartets that used to travel the countryside in the 70s, going from school to school, from church to church, and singing that beautiful four-part harmony. Well, I'm going to find a gospel quartet someday and get them here, just so they'll sing all the songs I tell them to. How do you think that'll work? See, smile. It works. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be joy exceeding for all to share. Smile. It works. Smile. It works. Smile. Jesus loves you, and that works. May God bless each and every one of you today. May he lift you up this week. May he walk with you through the trials and afflictions. And may you be reminded that he does. And when all else fails, smile. It works. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have reminded us to take a break every now and then and lean back. Lean back against you. Lean back against your love. Lean back against that which we know to be true. We ask, Father, that you would lift us up in all things, but that you would remind us to smile, to let the world know that we are Christians, and they will know us by our acts, our looks, our deeds. They will know us. They will know that Jesus Christ lives in us, and when they ask, we will be able to talk on him. Yes, Father, we need help constantly for everything that pushes against us, the frailties of this body, the everything around us, the family, the work, the friends, the trials, the tribulations. But more than that, Father, every now and then, we need to be reminded to smile, because Jesus loves us, and that works. Thank you, Father, for this time and this message. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.